Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Salita with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your peace. Now, our host, Salita.
Well, well, well. Good evening, everyone. I have on the air with me Ms. Rosalyn, I have Dr. Short, and I have my co-host, Brian. How are you guys?
We're great. How are you?
Good. Great, great.
I'm fine.
Can you hear me, Brian?
I can hear you. Doing
okay.
Fine.
Okay, Brian, was Mr. Smith supposed to call in?
Who?
Was Mr. Smith supposed to call in? Bruce.
I was assuming Robinson set that up. I can have him to call in.
Okay, was we supposed to talk to him tonight, or was we just discussing his case?
Well, it's up to you. It would be great to have him back on.
We should have him.
I can hang up and get him on.
Okay, and you're going to call me back?
Yeah, I'll call back. I'll hang up and get him
all
on.
All right.
That would be great because a lot of your listeners may not have heard his show prior. So.
Well, I'll just put my phone on mute. I'll call from another phone. You guys can go ahead and give a little intro, and I'll get him on.
All right. All right, you guys, I want each one of you, Dr. Short and Ms. Rosalyn, I want you guys to kind of introduce yourself to our listening audience. And before we get started with that, you guys, if you need to call in, it's 347-677-1749 with comments or questions. Please, please do not troll my radio show. If you troll my radio show, I will get ignorant. Okay. Now go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Rosalyn Cross Ratliff, and I am the founder of the Free Wesley Snipes Movement, and I also am the founder of Judicial Justice. Randy and I both, Randy is my spokesman, and what we do is we try to help people with their cases. People will contact us through our movement, and we'll try to promote their case to get it viral via internet due to the fact that a lot of our cases within the African-American community do not get broadcast on mainstream media. This is another means of getting your case heard and told. And I will let Randy take on from here.
Well, thank you again. Roz is a chairwoman, so she sort of convened a group of people who are concerned about what's happening, and that's sort of how we all came together. I saw this case, and I don't know when Ross saw it. We all saw it about the same time. But this is a troubling trend. Last night, I did some consulting for a television group, and I sent them about five stories of officer-involved slayings within the last couple of days. There's been a lot of killing of young black men and women and Latino men and women, and also a lot of white folks being killed. There's a very violent era, although disproportionately still black. And we need to come together, we need to come together and stop this.
You are so right. Did you hear, now, I just saw it today. What's happened in Times Square?
No, I wasn't aware. What happened?
It happened, I don't know when it happened, but it was trending on I was kind of going through my websites and I saw it. They're saying that a guy was smoking marijuana, I don't know if he was black or white, on Times Square, that he was smoking marijuana and the cops must have said something to him and he got upset, belligerent, and he pulled out a knife and started wielding it all over the place. Not to say he stabbed anybody, but he wind up, somebody put it on video, and you could actually hear the gunshots. They had to shoot about 3 or 4 times or more at this guy, okay? And my thing is, I thought you were supposed to shoot on down below the legs to knock them
down.
No.
Okay. They're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to shoot your body mass, your vital organs. It is a shoot to kill. We need to just get all out of that. It is a shoot to kill, and they've been killing a whole bunch of folks across the country, Wichita, Kansas.
Excuse me, y'all. Just want to let you know that Mr. Smith, I'll be calling in just a couple of seconds. Bruce Smith.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. But, that happened. Must have happened today. It had to happen today. But maybe, like you said, they've changed it to shoot to kill now. But it was like about maybe 30 cops out there for this one man. And they literally shot him down because they showed it on the video. I just couldn't see, because the guy who was taking the video was off his cell phone, but he was like way across the street, and the cops wouldn't let him get any closer. But you could hear the gunshots, and you could hear people saying, but you couldn't see whether it was a black man or a white man. You couldn't see the race. Okay, you guys, I think I got Bruce. Just a second.
Hello?
Bruce?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, this is Mr. Smith.
Yes, Mr. Smith. How are you, sir?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay, good. How are you tonight?
A little pain, but nothing I can't handle.
Oh, you're not feeling well?
I feel well enough for this interview.
Hello, Mr. Smith. My name is Robin Cross Ratliff. I just tried to call you. Your voicemail was full. I'm so glad that Brian was able to contact you.
Yeah, I was asleep.
Okay.
Like that, you know, feeling like I'm fighting cancer. So I took my medicine and I dozed off.
Okay.
And I just woke up.
I had a special telepathy with him, you know.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I didn't know that, Mr. Smith.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I mentioned it on the video. I mentioned it on the video, but I'm going to fight to the limits for my baby.
Mr. Short, you're still there, Mr. Short, right?
I'm still here.
Okay. Have you talked to Mr. Smith before?
You know what? I tried to reach Mr. Smith earlier, but I didn't reach him. But I did want to tell Mr. Smith that the conversation I had before I called into the station, I just got off the phone with my adopted grandfather, and I just call him grandfather. My grandfather is president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and he's very interested in seeing if there's something that can be done to help. And
yes,
I'm certainly hoping that you are as open with him as you are in your video. We had a lynching in Delaware, and the family refused to talk to me. I begged for months. I want to commend you for your courage standing up for the value of your son's life. That means
It's not just my son. I mean, it's for the future kids, too. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I don't want no more kids hurt.
And I agree, but it's still in the case of your son.
Yes, sir.
I'm mentioning, emphasizing that it says a lot about you as a father, because I have a mother who had lost a son and then had two other sons that would not allow anyone to come forward to defend their brother whose organs may have been taken. And one of the very brothers that refused to let anyone talk to the mother tried to kill another person, mistaken identity, tried to kill another black man who didn't do anything, was willing to kill another person and not even be certain who he's going to kill, but yet would not seek justice for his own brother. So now he's in jail, and the other brother's in jail. So you have a black mother who had three sons, one dead and two in jail. And two might be out of jail if they had understood that perhaps they were meant to be out of the system to at least make certain that justice was secured for their brother, who was hung in a public park in Delaware.
Man.
But it's very hard to get people. There was a case that happened maybe 10 years ago in Springfield, Missouri, where a Kenyan man named Gikenya was hung from an electrical power line in Springfield, Missouri.
What?
And they said it was a suicide. It was almost 60, 70 feet up. So, you know, it would take Superman to be able to fly up to the wire, tie the thing, secure it, put it around the neck, and then stop using his anti-gravitational forces so he could hang himself. But no mortal person could hang themselves that high up. And ironically, where this man was killed or lynched was where the Ku Klux Klan used to murder blacks in Springfield, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So these cases are real. And in fact, your neighboring state of Mississippi, there were at least 10 years ago, 85 lynchings that took place in prison or other places. Some of them white, by the way, of people who were being hung and executed in Mississippi that have not been resolved. And I was trying to help the family of one boy. I believe his name was Jason as well. And the father was head of the Nation of Islam, and the mother was head of the NAACP. And there was never any resolution to... No, his name was Andre, I'm sorry. Andre was... They claimed that Andre, who was a really good young man, was caught drinking in his car, and they took him out of the car in which his girlfriend was in, and then he was hung shortly thereafter in suicide. So we've had... This has been going on for a very long time, but to make a long story short, there is a class of African Americans who are doing very well, despite the rest of us who may be struggling. And they've made peace with these deaths, killings, and executions as long as they live well. This is a real problem in our community.
Well, I'm not making peace.
Well, no, I'm not talking about you. I mean, we love you, Daddy. We're with you.
Okay.
I'm talking about the fact that you have a black man who's head of the Justice Department, this guy, Eric Holder. Where is he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where is this man? Where is this? And by the way, we need to... I emphasize Eric Holder because I live here in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
And Eric Holder is seen... Eric Holder is seen as almost the unofficial head of the civil rights movement in this country.
He's supposed to be.
Well, nobody working for the FBI or for the federal government is supposed to be the leader of black people, no more than white folks claim that a white person in an official position is a white leader. That's silliness. That's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
We need folks who aren't appointed. How can an appointed person be a leader of a people unless we appoint them?
Yeah.
So that's at this situation, there has been an explosion in these kinds of crimes since the Obama administration has been in. And I'm not advocating Romney. I believe Romney would be 1 million times worse than Obama. But, you know, I really believe our people need to not have two choices. So I'm not going to talk about politics. I only want to say that we have a black man who could do something, and he is not.
Dr. Short, just 1 second. Welcome to Say Your Piece. Hello? Hello?
This is me.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Short. What were you saying?
So the point that I am making is that these kinds of incidents, whether it's the massacre of the Sikhs in their temple a few days ago, these incidents have been at an all-time high for almost 4 years. And there is someone black who's supposed to be the nation's top cop.
Mm-hmm.
If the problem gets worse and you're in charge, you aren't doing something.
Exactly.
Exactly. I would like to add as well, I mean, since the 2 weeks that I've last spoke with Mr. Smith, two incidents happened. We had one crazy skinhead shoot up a whole bunch of people out there in, I believe that was that Wisconsin?
Yes.
Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. And then last week, we had another incident where some crazy skinhead shot up a bunch of Sing Indians in their temple as they were praying.
Mm-hmm.
I brought both of these incidents up to mention the fact that our president responded very quickly to both of these incidents. In fact, with the Wisconsin case, with the guy who posed himself as the Joker, did you know that
Colorado.
Colorado. I stand to be corrected. With both of those, with the incident in Colorado, the people's insurance was completely paid. Their medical bills were paid in full by the government. Now, I brought that up to say, you know, I don't advocate any type of violence to any one particular race or another. But when it comes to African Americans, it's a shame that the only way our stories get told is through internet radio, or possibly, if we're lucky, we might get a small write-up in a news column.
Uh-huh.
This case with Jason Smith, this should be major news.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. This should have gone to world news. They should still be talking about this topic on CNN. I am outraged on this. As a medical worker myself, I work in the medical field, and I have assisted harvest organ cases with the harvest organ teams. And I know that I was listening to his evidence the last time that he was on, and he mentioned briefly about the autopsy. And it just did not sound, nothing added up to me. I know when autopsies are done, everything is taken out, it's labeled, it's photographed, and it's called exhibits. I didn't hear Mr. Smith mention anything about exhibits, and then I wondered, how could you get an exhibit off of a missing organ, and how can an autopsy be determined without the organs? How can you find out how the heart stopped without a heart, in other words?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then another thing is, I don't understand how they determined a drowning incident from the beginning, because I don't understand how they determined a drowning incident in the beginning.
Well, see, they found him in the water. That was the indication that he was drowning.
They placed him in the water.
I'm speaking on an autopsy level here. Because if the body, according to Mr. Jason, the body arrived without organs. Am I correct, Mr. Smith?
When I went to go claim my son's body, and I looked at him on that table, he didn't have nothing in him.
Nothing. I remember you saying that, and I remember you saying you asked where were his organs, and they said they did not know.
Right. You know, I think one of the main parts is that's very suspicious. Is that
so? I'm assuming that the body arrived without organs. Now, if that's the case in any type of autopsy, the first thing they want to figure out is how these organs were removed. That should have been the main objective of the autopsy. In order to remove organs from a human body, you have to have a precise instrument, and it has to be precise cut. You can't just rip apart an organ and then expect it to work and function in another body. Do you does everyone following where I'm coming from? So
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how, what type of autopsy was taken. I would love to have a petition or something made up rapidly to get permission to have his body exhumed and have it reexamined by
exactly
a private autopsy.
That's what I'm trying to do.
The only thing with that is it has to be a lawyer to order that.
If we had enough of the public, if we get enough public opinion and get this story out here viral where people know about it, right now not many people know about it. I just heard about this story 2 weeks ago. I'm outraged. And it's bigger than just Jason. We have a problem right here. We have a problem right now in America with missing African American children. As I tried to, I messaged Brian during the last show, but now I can get a chance to explain it. And I would also like to correct what I said, because I said a yellow alert. And actually, a yellow alert is a child abduction alert in a hospital. I made a mistake and gave you a hospital code. But actually, we have an amber alert for children. It's for missing children. It's called the amber alert. And what this alert does is it notifies each network, television network, and statewide that a child is missing. There used to be a time where you had to wait 24 hours prior to reporting your child missing. Now you can report them missing immediately, and an amber alert is supposed to be implemented. So we don't have, when it comes to African-American children, we have one website on Facebook, on the Internet. Thank God for this website. They're the only ones that are promoting African-American children that's missing. And this is a huge, huge multi-billion dollar industry, and I believe that African-American children are the biggest victims because they're not being reported, or if they are found, let's just say if they are found, autopsy automatically has to be implemented. That's the law. They have to make an autopsy. But if you see stitches coming from the head all the way down, you don't question where those stitches came from. You just assume that it's from the autopsy. It never dawns on you that their organs may be missing. This is a huge problem here in America. This issue needs to be addressed. And it's not just an African-American problem. This is a problem international. I just read interviews the other day about a man from Haiti. Remember when Haiti had the major earthquake?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Israeli soldiers came in, quote unquote, help the crisis, to assist. Instead, what they were doing with the victims is they were stealing their organs. And I have a video of an African man alive. They found him alive. They dug him out of a hole. And they were talking about how much his organs, the price of his organs was worth. This is just crazy. It's crazy. This is a problem.
But by virtue of who you described was getting the organs, is at the heart of is that one of the problems? I mean,
well, I know who's getting the organs, the real white folks that want to live.
But the point is, let's just get to it and stick with that. I was reading a book today when I was waiting for the barber to cut my hair. It's a book that came out many years ago. And it's called The Jesse Jackson Phenomenon, written by Adolph Reed. I bought the book because I saw a quote when I was watching one of these movies on YouTube, and I decided, even though I had the book and stored somewhere, I needed to have another one so I could pull out this quote and read it, because our real issue, if we can get down to it, is a crisis of leadership. There's a real crisis of leadership in our community, and part of the reason that we cannot deal with certain problems, we can't even say that there's certain problems, is because of where our lack of leadership is. But if you ever get a chance, I'll repeat the title of the book. You don't even have to read the whole book. The book is worth its weight in gold if you just read one chapter. I'll repeat the title of the book. The Jesse Jackson Phenomenon by Adolph Reed. Reed spelled R-E-E-D, Jr. This book came out.
I want to get that book.
Came out in 1986. And there was a very interesting chapter. It's chapter 8. And the only reason I got the book was for chapter 8. I didn't care about anything else. All the rest of the book could. And there's a chapter called Blacks and Jews and the Democratic Coalition.
Excuse me, not to interrupt you. Could you give me that title again of that book?
I'd be happy because everybody, and it's chapter 7. Chapter 7 in the book, The Jesse Jackson Phenomenon by Adolph Reed, Jr. And it's chapter
Jesse
7,
Jackson.
Phenomenon, P-H-E-N-O-M-E-N-O-N, The Jesse Jackson Phenomenon. And it's only good, it's mainly good if you just look at maybe one or two quotes. But he talks about how the black leadership in the United States is so compromised to get funding and support from the Jewish community until they're unwilling. And this is from 86 to stand up for the black community in order to continue to have support from this group. And I'm not saying all Jews are bad. I'm not saying anything like that, but I'm going to quote a gentleman who was one of the vice presidents of Hebrew congregations in the country, and I'm going to leave this subject because I don't want anybody jumping on me thinking that I am picking on anybody. But this is what he said.
Now, do your thing.
The truth is that black-Jewish relations were never really good.
Mm-hmm.
We Jews did a great deal for black people, and that is precisely the point. We are the leaders, or should I say we were the leaders. We called the shots. We set the timetable. We evolved the strategy. We produced the money. We were the superior people. This was no relationship of peer to peer, equal to equal, powerful group to powerful group. In other words, you guys are inferior,
mm-hmm.
and we helped you for what we wanted to get out of helping you. Now, if that's the attitude of the people, that the if you wonder why the NAACP has been fighting for homosexual marriage and can't stand up for Brother Smith's son, which religious group first sanctioned and married same-sex couples? Well, Rabbi Saperstein in New York. Who's leading? Where's the leading point in the world for slavery right now? It's Israel.
Yep.
Human smuggling, prostitution. But you know what? So if our kids and organ smuggling, same place, and diamond smuggling, the blood diamonds, where all the folks are dying in Africa, where do the diamonds go? So every time you see a trail of dead black bodies and someone's making money, you'll never hear peep from certain people. And you know what? I'm not going to even complain about the crooked people that are doing this stuff, but the good guys like Mr. Sharpton and Jesse and all the others, where are you guys? How many people's body parts to get to take before you at least halfway get angry? I mean, you could get Jesse to make nasty comments about this community when he was upset personally back when he said Hymetown, but when it comes down to lies, silence.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharpton and every single solitary so-called black, whatever they are, seem to be terrified. And you know what? Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, you name them, Rosa Parks, these folks were willing to stand.
and maybe even get shot. Folk getting shot every day. We have 5,000 plus blacks shot and killed every year in this country. I wonder what for. And yet these few were willing to stand up in leadership or whatever it was that drove them. Why is it that we allow ourselves to be led by a buffoon like Sharpton with his process mind and process hair?
Mr. Al Sharpton, as long as it can concern money, he's there.
Yeah, $40,000 a pop.
Yeah, $40,000 a pop.
That's sad.
Yeah.
This man has
really
won.
Sad.
He's won more wires than AT&T.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
yeah.
He gets to be the leader. So,
well,
you know, we've got.
Always there.
You know what? We have poor examples of leadership. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are terrible examples of who we really are. And I hate the idea that the media and us, quote unquote, black folks, always want to jump and, oh, I got to get with Jesse. Oh, I got to get with Al. I don't want them fighting any battle for me.
Exactly.
Because that is a show. And you have to charge me to help me as my fellow man. I don't need you.
But I'll go one step further. I'm not against people getting money. I'm against people unwilling to serve for the money that they get.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
I will say this and I'll repeat. Sister Roz will send us, you know, a little bit of check or something just to encourage us. You know, thank God, pretty soon I should be employed Tuesday, and then I can say, Roz, don't send it. Give it. I can't wait to be able to say, Roz, I'm making my own. I'm out of that period of underemployed, so, and I want to make my own money. So, do you follow? But so we need money to do things, but some of it should be about service.
Yeah.
Okay, so I might get something from Roz, and this, so, but it really is about my people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow? Mr. Jackson is a millionaire many times over.
Yes.
Sharpton, in order to be in debt $5 million, had to spend $5 million.
Yeah.
Most people don't make $5 million and their entire working career, which means he's made five times, and he's still working, five times more money's come through his hands than what most people earn in a lifetime, and he's still alive.
Yeah.
So where is the service for that kind of money? And I think, and I again, Malcolm X died broke.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King died broke.
Mm-hmm.
And not that they should have to, but our people have the wrong attitude about money. And I say this, absolutely, we must have it. You need it. I got to get my phone bill paid. I may have to call it Rose. I might need a tip. but I'm going to try not to. Amen? Do you follow what I'm saying? Our thing about money is that it's to be hoarded and to be squandered, like Michael Jordan with his pregnant European wife.
Mm.
Remember when they had the flood years ago in North Carolina where his family was from, and he
mm-hmm.
sent the people a whole bunch of draws, and that was it?
and
he sent them draws because he had this from Haynes. He had a relationship. So he sent the people
yeah.
clean draws.
So that cost him nothing, actually.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what? It should have cost him. Black folks should have sent him a bunch of dirty draws and stopped going to his games. I'm not a Negro in the sports. But if I was in the sports, I would have kept a pair of draws on for 2 days and sent it to Michael Jordan. To show him what they think about a black man worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and you couldn't send your hometown some food, some flashlights, some blankets. I mean,
yep.
spoken to Ku Klux Klan and skinheads sent more than Michael Jordan did.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
When Michael Jordan's father got killed, bumped off by a black dude and a white dude, Michael Jordan was playing basketball the next day.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of people we look up to.
Yes.
We worship Jay-Z. I mean, a dope dealer who's gone legitimate.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, if it's not legitimate for George Bush's family to be drug dealers and Hitler's banker generation or two later, then he shouldn't be legitimate.
Yep.
I don't care how much Beyonce's booty is shaking.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
So we have to get we allow them to make these images, and at the same time, things that show us what we should be thinking about, that nobody else, this shouldn't happen to this Mr. Smith's son, should be with us.
This is Brian. I just wanted to add in that I think one of the things is that it's, and I know this is happening all over, but Salita and I have been getting quite a bit of information and things that are going under the radar, so to speak, or covered up here in Louisiana. And we know Louisiana is one of the, it may be one of those hidden hands, but one of those areas where the Klan still has a presence, but they've been low-key to a point where the officials here within this state are doing a very good job of covering up injustice like what happened to Jason.
No, they're not covering it up. They don't have to cover it up.
They are covering it up because from the information we received from what Bruce has given us, it was always as a drowning, and when you got number white officials over this area in a predominantly white area, and it has been, when I speak of covered up, I mean it's been covered up by the officials. These are people in official capacities that are supposed to bring the information out. Something turns into one thing, and then it turns into something else. His body was shipped to, sent to a white funeral home in the beginning.
Well, you know what?
That's the same thing that they do in Delaware when a black person gets killed in a strange way. It goes to the funeral home without the black family being notified until after it's done.
And the fact that with Trayvon Martin, I mean, like I think Rob brought it to my attention, that when Trayvon Martin's family had been calling, but it was, what, how many days?
Three days.
And the same night
that it was him.
I know a case here where the body was missing for months, and the person was missing for months, and the family was pleading. And the young woman's body had identification on it.
Wow.
And they
still didn't tell the family.
And that happened up here in D.C. in Obama's backyard. That's how it is. But I'm more so to believe,
like anybody said, Obama was selected, not elected.
I want to emphasize, because you know what, when you talk about the president with black folks, it gets all emotional and they can't hear any of what's being said. They just rally to defend the president, and you suddenly become a Ku Klux Klansman. So
you're right.
I'm not talking about.
We're not going to discuss politics.
But you know what? But no, we could talk about politics, but let's talk about the number one cop in this country.
Somebody have their radio on?
Yeah, somebody got something playing.
Somebody, please turn the radio on.
That was my
telephone. What I would like to discuss is what we have done and what we are trying to do to help Jason. Since your last appearance on the show, Mr. Smith, you've definitely captured my heart and my attention. And between Salada, Brian, and myself, we've all come up with some great ideas on trying to help you get your story told and seek the justice that's definitely needs to be sought. When we hang up from this interview, I would like to call you really quick and get your information because I want to set up a fundraising for you. For Jason. This would be for a lawyer. And I believe I spoke with Soletta, and she has been probing into trying to find you legal help. I have Mr. Randy Short on the line.
He has connections with international
press television media, which we could try to get that implemented where they can actually interview you.
Ramadan is almost over, Mr. Smith. I talked to a sister. She's from Jefferson County, Louisiana. Her birth name is Melanie Franklin, but her Muslim name is Marzia Hashemi. And Marzia knows about your son and the situation. I spoke to her about it last week to remind her that this was important. And the reason I guess Roz brought it up is that Marzia, she's the sister that put Trayvon Martin's story on blast and the international media. She put it out for like a week before it was on television all around the world before it came to the United States to show you how powerful the lock is, but it can be broken. I need to make certain I have your number, your phone number, because when I call her, maybe I can call her tonight, we can do a three-way, and I need to do two three-ways with you. Okay. The head of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference says that he does want to be helpful. What we may need to do, because he was asking me what city you were in, and the stuff that we had, I didn't always hear Arrows. But it's Arrows, Louisiana, in what, Jackson County?
Jackson Parish
County. You know what I mean. I know it's different down there, but most places it's county.
Randy, he's actually in California, but that's where this took place, where his family is.
No, he asked where the killing took place. I know he's in California. He's got a Los Angeles.
No, I'm not in California right now.
Oh, you're not?
What
okay.
I'm moving around. Because it got kind of dangerous for me.
Of course.
My car being sabotaged.
Oh, my God.
No. You would want to move around. And what I'm thinking is that we need to have an open letter, and I'm in the mood to do it. We need to write Eric Holder, and we need to write a couple of people and have people sign a petition, because there are a lot of folk who want to get rid of the attorney general. I'm talking about racist folk, which I think if black folk started pushing, this would bubble back out into the news.
Especially if this is
an FBI agent that was in any way involved with this, this becomes a cover-up. And this is the kind of – we need to hold – people accountable. Don't say you black and hold a position and not do nothing for me. I'd rather have a cracker who doesn't want to be called racist that will help me than that. The other thing is we need to write the governor and expose the governor. When they put this Jindal guy in, I have a lot of friends that are Indian. I have done work, human rights work, for people who are Indian, and they have a little caste system where black folks aren't human, even where they come from.
Yes.
So y'all have a governor who hates your guts, and he gets a pass because his skin is brown.
Yeah.
We should be talking about the caste system, and I got folks that are Indian, if you wanted to get that out, because this would be an international situation that y'all got this Indian governor who's fronting for black folks to be murdered.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we have to think creatively about how, if the media won't get it at a straight-up lynching story, there needs to be a whole discussion of how black folks are being butchered in Louisiana now that they have a non-white governor, because Jindal has become the new model. If you look at some of your black colleges and you wonder how they go out of business or they get broke, I can assure you the people running the money down there are Indian, like they were at Morris Brown. It's an Indian guy who's in charge of the money at Howard. It's an Indian guy in charge of the money here in Washington, D.C. And black folk seem to be fascinated, as long as you're not African-American,
right,
you can be trusted to watch the money. And so we have all these institutions and things. We have all these weird people from other places who hate our guts.
Uh-huh.
And as long as they're not white, we don't ask any questions. We barely ask
they
white folks.
They don't even know why they hate our guts. They don't.
And we don't ask questions either in the hospital. I mean, this is the time. I'm so happy that this story of organ theft has finally started to break, where people are starting to talk, because I've seen a lot of injustice working in the hospital when it comes to organ theft, particularly if someone gets shot by a drive-by. Oh, my God. 9 out of 10 times their body is going to have stolen organs. And this happens often. If someone comes in, don't have ID. Now, you know, I hate to say this, but within our race, the African-American race, there's many of us that walk around without ID.
Yeah.
You're automatically labeled the John Doe.
Yep.
Once you're labeled as a John Doe, what do you think they do with your body? You think they're going to sit there and let that just spoil in the morgue? No.
Nope. Especially if you're healthy.
Exactly.
Jason was very healthy.
Now, you guys, you know, I was telling Mr. Smith, you were talking about the Attorney General. I don't know if you've ever written a letter to the Attorney General, Dr. Short. Have you already?
No. Not that he'll respond, but you see, we don't need to write him just a plain letter. It needs to be a petition online.
Yes.
We need to write an open letter, and we need to get it out with Fox TV, because the Republicans can't stand him. If we have to use racists to get a story out, I had to do it. I won't explain when, but I know what it's like when I had a problem and someone was doing something, and I'd call up and say, you know, I can't believe that black people are allowed to do this, and something should stop this. And then there'd be a story in the newspaper trashing folks. But if I called up and said, you know, I'm black and these folks are doing this, they'd say, well, that's your problem. But if I said, you know what, if it were a white school and this were happening, there would be a news story, why are black people allowed to do wrong? And these folks would just jump all over it. We need to ask the Republicans or whoever, or the Fox people, to say, how come when something like this happens, no one calls Eric Holder to task? And we need to say that Eric Holder, we will not give you a pass just because you're black. We don't care what you look like.
Okay, Dr. Short, the reason why I'm saying that is because I called them already, and you can't just write them a letter. There's a certain way you have to have the letter written. That's why I was asking you, have you ever wrote them before? When I talked to the lady, there's a specific way for you to write the letter in order for him to even touch you.
No. We don't want to write him a letter.
This is
we want to put this out where everybody sees.
Right.
We're calling you an enemy of the people. You should resign. You've allowed all these murders and things to go on, and we'd rather have a white person that was sincere than you.
I went to a Walmart out there in Louisiana, and all the missing kids down there on the wall is black kids. No
really?
White kids, really.
Mr. Sharp.
In Louisiana at their Walmart, you see all black kids missing. And nobody.
I have a question for Randy.
Well, this is what I was talking about the black children missing. I mean, you don't see that posted on the television. It's not going to ever get media coverage. The only way you will see it is through small things like the internet. Like you said, you have to go to Walmart and look on the wall to find an African-American child that's missing. Now, at the moment, a little white kid is missing. It's plastered everywhere. I live here in Seattle, and there was a missing child that was missing. Don't you know, on the highway, they had notifications, Amber Alert. They had it flashing. They had license plates to look out for. I would like to see that happen in our community as well. Aren't our children just as special as anybody else? Children?
Unfortunately, we don't think so. Sadly, you do, but, you know, it disgusts me. I do, but there is a problem, that, and not that we can address it all, but I believe that we need to demand that that happen. And in particular, one of the things that should be happening, in fact, in terms of people missing, is to one, there almost needs to be a place for folks to communicate. Do you realize anything that unifies us doesn't exist?
Yes.
We normally have to go to something and another group of people to try to get something. It's
exactly.
Very, very, you know, it's very, very WTF.
Mm-hmm.
How everything is WTF. And it is absolutely strange to me that if I want to talk or look, I've got to find the white organization, or I get a black organization, but you know the black organization. Well, we're just doing the state of California, so each state or city will have to, and then nobody wants to share power or work together. So we really need to ask the question. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe that this, the fact that you're willing to share, Mr. Smith, I see an opening. In the same way I wanted to, I had the reporter here, and we were begging the people, please let us do this story in the lynching. Please, we didn't have the money to get to you, but we could have gotten to the other one. And so it's sometimes it's a time and place. And it's a circumstance, sadly, because normally this is happening to people who don't have a whole lot of means. It's the same
way. Yeah,
but
Alita, I have a question.
Yeah. People are
yep.
scared.
I've been trying.
They're
let me ask this question.
Like
hey,
that, but I'm not scared.
Wait. You guys, let Mr. Coleman, you had a question.
Randy.
Sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us, for those who are not familiar, because I wasn't until the last time you did our show, could you give those people who don't know, give us Eric Holder's background and history, please, so we can have a better idea where we're coming from?
It's very simple. I'm going to just do a little bit of Eric Holder. Eric Holder, at one point, in fact, let me bring this up on Google so I have everything super tight. But Eric Holder, first of all, is a son of foreign black nationals from Barbados. That's first and foremost. And a large number of African American folks, although we have different colors and shades and we have issues about hair and color, and we do have these issues, some places more extreme than others, New Orleans being an example, D.C. being another, Atlanta being an example. In the Caribbean, color means everything. So when you look at Eric Holder, Eric Holder isn't your everyday Barbadian. Eric Holder is one of those elite light-skinned type that look down on dark-skinned people. And if you even look at Eric Holder's wife, he married an African-American woman, but she's light-skinned, light, bright, damn near white type black as well. The people who come out of Eric Holder's class in Barbados, the reason that they got their freedom is, I'm going to pull this up so I can give you the dates on it. The British needed some people to hold other black people in check back in the 1800s. And so what they formed was called the West India Regiment that existed from 1795 to 1927. And what their purpose was, this West India Regiment, were blacks who were given their freedom provided that they would kill other blacks for white people, kill for whites, preventing blacks from getting their freedom. And this is the basis of many of these light-skinned Caribbean types who are black, I guess, when it benefits them, but in reality they see themselves as something else. So that's one, and so that's part of Eric Holder. The other thing about Eric Holder, and I'm going to pull him up, I can say this to you, in terms of being in Washington, D.C., Eric Holder was like, hold on, let me make certain I get this thing right, because I got to get this, I'm going to get the wrong position, and I'm going to pull this up, so I have this, give me 1 second. Eric Holder was, what's his thing? He was a judge in the Superior Court of the District of Columbia. Then he was a United States attorney, okay? Then for a certain period of time, he was a Deputy Attorney General of the United States, okay? When he was Deputy Attorney General of the United States, he was the one who created the whole plan to destroy Marion Barry. They spent $40-plus million getting Marion Barry into a hotel room. Everybody in D.C. knows Marion Barry loved a booty. I mean, he loved the booty. He tried to get my mama's. I mean, lots of people have stories about Marion Barry trying to get some black women. He's a freak, but he's not a crook. And when he went, if you've ever seen the videotape, Marion Barry was there chasing after this woman, Miss, I forget her name, Rashida, I think it was Rashida Moore, I may have the name wrong, but this woman that he was after, by the way, was the daughter of a woman my father grew up with. This woman had children. Eric Holder threatened this woman that if she did not set up Marion Barry, who she happened to like, he would make certain that she never had her or saw her children again. So this woman went and made certain that she got Marion Barry to put that pipe in his mouth, not so much because she wanted to frame him, but she wanted to have her kids. So you have to understand what kind of mind a man would have, a so-called black man, to come to a black mother and threaten to take away her children for life if she didn't destroy another black man. Now, any of you that have children, if someone put you in, you choose your children.
Mm-hmm.
And every since Marion, every
since Marion Barry got put in jail and framed up like he was, the black folks in D.C. have been losing ground, losing everything. This man, Eric Holder's actions to prove to white folks that he would destroy a great black man and a black community and a black movement, he could be trusted. So he went from deputy, and then they made him full attorney general because he can look the other way when Jason Smith's organs have been harvested. I need to say something else. When this man, Mr. Holder, Mr. Civil Rights, everyone sees him as the titular head of the black movement in the country, in case you didn't know that, this same man, he worked for the office of Covington and Burling. And when he was there, he worked for Chiquita Brands, the Chiquita banana people.
Mm-hmm.
What many people don't know is that Chiquita bananas are harvested by black and brown people in Colombia, and people who were trying to get decent wages were being murdered by death squads hired by the Chiquita brand company. And
wow.
Mr. Holder worked to make certain that Chiquita brand was able to get off fairly easy for killing dozens of black and brown labor leaders, their families. I have a friend here whose father was a labor leader. He and the young man's brother and father were murdered. I don't know if they were involved with bananas, but can you imagine that this same man who has the specialty in destroying and hurting black people is now the attorney general. And look at what he's done as attorney general. Remember this Fast and Furious where all these guns have killed up to 60,000 people in Mexico. And thousands of guns. Come on, let's all be honest. Drug kingpins never go to jail. They always get the small fish. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me you're going to send thousands of machine guns into a country and somehow Scarface is going to get caught with this AR-15?
Mm-hmm.
Please, come on now. Some small fry will get caught, but not, look, the narco dollars run Wachovia. Remember Wachovia? It's a drug running bank. They ain't in existence anymore. The Mexican banks are the same way. How could they really say they wanted to get the big people? If they really wanted to get them, all they have to do is go to the banks. Who deposits the money? Mm. They could do it. So all these Mexicans are dying. And all these guns are ending up in the hands of skinheads and other people, like the little cracker that shot all the people in Aurora, Colorado. That AR-15 may have been one of those Fast and Furious guns that Eric Holder let him have. And Eric Holder covered this up, and there have been people shot in this country.
Dr. Short, somebody asked me a question. Where is the supporting documents that's stating that's what Holder did?
All they have to do is go and Google it. Forgive me, I'm going to say this to people who ask questions. It's real insulting sometimes living in America because folks believe everything they see on the talk shows and the BS that comes on the radio. And then when someone halfway says something, that all they need to do is go into Google and put in Fast and Furious and Eric Holder. That's all they have to do. It's so easy nowadays, I think it's ridiculous that we have folks who want to be spoon-fed everything, especially when it's broke folk like Roz and I who are broke. we can't do all that. They got a computer. Look it up, Fast and Furious, put that in, and then put in caps, Eric Holder. It'll come up. You know, and I get an attitude because I don't want to lie on him. And the West Indian Regiment, all they have to do is go on Google and dig it up. I mean, I'm not saying, and in fact, Jesse Jackson, you put it out there because in reality, they don't call white folk when they're on the radio and ask them to explain everything. How dare them?
Right.
Go look it up. Look it up. Prove me a liar if I'm wrong. If not, you dig what I'm saying? Folks should be taking notes. You know, it's amazing. You get black folks, when they go to a black church, the black preacher's got to do everything to get them over. They have a white preacher. They just sit there and take notes.
I'm glad to know that people are listening because if they can call and ask you a question on.
I don't mind them calling and asking a question,
let me finish, Randy. If they can call and ask you for information, then hopefully they'll be willing to send some type of money for the Jason Smith Fund because we really are in need of money. Now tell them where to send that money. Jason Smith.
This is not about Eric Holder. No, it's not about Eric Holder, but I'm answering that question specifically because here's where I'm coming from, Roz. We have a real issue as a people. First of all, there are going to be folks who are going to question Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And after all he's been through and having to live on the lam and hide from people, are going to question, well, how do you know that happened? We do that to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But we the same way we let the Indian in and run the school and don't ask any questions, and Morris Brown goes broke because the Indians were stealing all the money, but nobody was watching them. And yet, if you're black and you're one of the people cleaning up at the school and you want a 50-cent raise, they're ready to fire you.
Mm-hmm.
The way we deal with each other.
Yeah.
So I address that in terms of spirit because there's a spirit when folks do that. Because in reality, a truth seeker. Like when I heard the thing by Vorspan talking about blacks and Jews, the first thing I did was I couldn't find it online, so I found the book and I bought it. The book came 2-3 days ago. I don't take it lightly that truth or reality is just going to come and hand itself to me. And I'm also saying this to you as a teacher, as a history teacher, there's an intellectual laziness in a large number of our people. Where, like, as a black history teacher, I'm supposed to go in and say everything so they don't have to read. And there's a lot of us who are trying to do this. And it does not come to Roz. It doesn't come to even what's been learned by Mr. Smith didn't come easy. It came painfully, and it took research and looking and asking questions. And so I'm very much against the spoon-feeding thing because in reality it would make more sense because I know what it's like to just give people stuff. And when you hand it to them, they drop it. It's just like a cow dropping bowel movement. They just move on, just drop it. But when they look themselves, their attitude should be, this dude is a liar. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And for them to look.
Brian, I would like to ask you a question. Brian, for your listeners that may have missed Mr. Smith's interview 2 weeks ago and his interview that he had on your show, can you briefly describe what happened to his son so that they can be more up to date on what this conversation and topic is all about?
Well,
Just real quickly.
Yes.
Bruce Smith's son, Jason Smith, was a 14-year-old black child who Mr. Smith, because he lived a rough life, came up in the game era, didn't want his children to live that type of life, decided as a single parent he was going to move from the big city of L.A. to a smaller town of Louisiana where he had relatives. The area that he moved to, Arrows, Louisiana, which is in between Grambling, which where Grambling State University is, and Monroe, Louisiana. It's in that area, and through our research, and one of Selena and I colleagues, we have confirmed that it is a heavy Klan area. We didn't even know it, and we're less than 2 hours away. His son, who normally gets off the bus every day at their home, for some reason was put off the bus in a predominantly white area where blacks were only known to go to this area when it was time to shop and when it's time to pay bills. This area he was dropped off into, he ended up at one of these young guys' house. And when we say young guys, these people I think were like 15 on up to 19 years old, maybe 20.
Well, Clayton Sutton was 13. And
okay.
Weston was 19, 17 on up.
So 13 to 19 years old.
Wow.
And now, when he was at this house, Mr. Smith said his son did make a phone call, which was a weird phone call made to his, was it a girlfriend, Mr. Smith?
It was my daughter's friend.
Okay.
And it just stated, Lakita is me, bye.
And so it was real weird, but it was called from one of the guys. His son, who, by the count of Mr. Smith, if it can be any like this story, his son was not crazy about water. He said even when he took a bath, he was in and out in 2 seconds. He had to check him over to make sure he was clean.
Uh-huh.
But he was
2 minutes exactly. 2 minutes.
He was afraid of water. He was afraid of bugs, snakes, and all that stuff. This is a city boy. He didn't grow up in the woods, so he stayed away from the head, never been in a swimming pool in his whole life. But yesterday he supposedly drowned in a secluded pond in the woods that he hated, you know, and we say bugs and snakes because you have to go through the woods that bugs and snakes, spiders, and water.
And gators. And gators.
Let me ask you a question about the lake, though. What type of wildlife was
it
in the
lake?
Did they have, like, crocodiles, alligators?
It's a pond, not a lake.
Video.
The difference between a pond and a lake is the pond is much smaller.
If you look on the video and zoom in on the lake, I mean the pond, if you zoom in on the pond, you'll see a big, giant crocodile in there.
Oh, so it was a crocodile in there.
Yeah, just Louisiana. We have them all over.
It just seems strange to me that he would drown and a crocodile wouldn't touch him. But his organs.
No, he was dead. He was dead before he hit the water.
It's not a crocodile. It's an alligator, you guys. We don't have crocodiles. We have alligators.
Oh, okay. Alligators. I'm sorry. I'm from Seattle. What do I know?
Like a gator, they eat live prey. If you already dead, they ain't going to touch you.
Mm.
So the thing of it is, what it shows is that his son, who was scared of water.
That's a good point.
Now this is the another part that's very mysterious. According to the information Mr. Bruce Smith has, one of the young boys said he tried to help him, but he was told to leave him alone.
Yep.
And his body was in the water from what was it? Was it 1:30 to 8?
It was 1:30 to, and they got the call at 8, and they pulled his body out at 9 o'clock.
But yet and still, it was first up thought to be foul play, but then it was ruled as a drowning.
You know that's a cover-up. I mean,
people can plainly see on the video how he was beat, how his eye crushed in and
saw his image on the video on the internet.
And it
doesn't even look like a drowning to me.
Right.
It doesn't. I mean, they can't even prove to me that he's been drowned. They would have to prove that.
Roz, in this investigation, notice that the pictures that we have that was taken was done by his father after the body came back to the funeral home. It was never done, to our knowledge. Ms. Smith doesn't have the pictures they gave him. They never, to his knowledge, ever even took any pictures. And the major place in Louisiana where you get autopsies done, especially in case of suspected foul play, is New Orleans, and this body was shipped to a private person to do an autopsy in Arkansas, which is normally any private autopsy is paid by the family.
Well, I think what we need to do is find out what is the state laws of Louisiana and the state laws in Arkansas dealing with foul play.
Hey, listen. I looked that up about the autopsy. Actually, it was a private autopsy. Nobody should have done anything without Mr. Smith's permission.
Exactly.
Because of Mrs. Childs.
I didn't give nobody no permission.
We found out also is that the person that does the, what do you call him, Salita, the coroner.
The
pathologist.
Over every parish has a coroner. And I found the coroner does not have to be a doctor. The coroner is elected official. And that coroner can contract out his duties that needs to be done as an MD. And we don't know where it went from there, but it's mysterious that this body was sent to Arkansas against Mr. Smith's wishes. He told them don't do it, don't touch the body. They did so anyway because they told him, because of Louisiana law, when they expect foul play, they had the right to take the body and to do autopsy.
They didn't have to do it right then, and they definitely didn't have a right to ship his body to another state. Like I said from the beginning of our broadcasting here, the autopsy, this body needs to be exhumed, and the autopsy should be focused more so on how these organs were missing. Because, like I said, it has to be a precise surgical cut.
Now, according to
I
was not embalmed, right?
Excuse me, can I mention something?
Sure.
And I'm putting it on the table. There are two things, but the first thing I'm going to throw out, and if I were a Martian from another planet listening to this, I would wonder why a group of people who have a history of being screwed over by another group of people spend a great degree of time debating against the other side instead of asserting their point. If we know that they did all these things to make certain that an investigation wasn't done, we can simply assert that it's all that we say it is because they wouldn't follow any process. But when we sit down and we try to measure how they did it, why they did it, I'm not saying that it's not a thought process that we have, but the energy devoted there means that people who are evil, felonious and everything else, deserve equal merit to the victim and his family. And I notice this psychology in black folks, even progressive black folks are trying to reason it out, as if we're dealing with decent people. We are not. That's my first point. Number two, I have Dr. Jahi Issa. He's the gentleman that knows the family with the lynching that took place, and he knows about the funeral parlor that they send black bodies to when they want to cover up murders and so forth. And there's been a couple of police flings. It was just the police shot someone in the car within the last 4 or 5 days. Up in Delaware, believe it or not, they still have the laws on the books back from the pre-slavery era. So he's here on the line with me. But Brother Smith, this brother here, Dr. Issa, has been trying to raise awareness that folks are destroying black universities and killing people and doing all of this, and there are very few places to go. And he's the one that knows about the young man that was lynched practically in broad daylight in a park several weeks after the Ku Klux Klan had handed out notices that they would be killing black people.
Is he on the line now?
He's on the line.
Hello.
Yes,
can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I have been trying to call the blog radio, but the line is, it says that it's all full up, so you may have people who may be trying to call, but I think you have a limit. Come on.
Yeah, we have a limit on who I can pull in and who I can
have on. Yes.
Yeah. So that may prevent people from being able to come in and add to the quality of the show, like myself. So I've been calling for the last hour, so I just decided let me call Dr. Short. And let me say this, you know, and I agree wholeheartedly with Dr. Short. Dr. Short has a PhD from an accredited university. Dr. Short also has a Master's of Religious Studies from Harvard. So I understand what he means when black people come and question the integrity of his intelligence and his research analysis. They wouldn't do that to white folks.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I'm watching the blog comments, and they're making fun about it. You know, so a black person who has all the qualifications in the world who comes and gives analytical reasons as to why this is happening, other black people have to come and question it. They wouldn't even do that with a white person who didn't even have a high school diploma.
They're not questioning the coroner. They're not questioning what happened to Mr. Smith's son. When someone does evil and hurts black folks, they don't question. They only question. This shows the brainwash, which is why I snap back at that. Only when someone black is trying to defend them, which shows the self-hatred and the psychological slavery of our people, when you have this father whose son has been murdered, and these folks don't have the gravitas, if I want to start using white words to lose them, to say, hey, wait a minute, I should just sit back, listen, and take notes. Because this is going to be up on blog, they can listen, and they can go and check it themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, our people need to have, if they don't understand that Mr. Romney, if he becomes president, and God forbid, we're going to be in real tough place because this is not the kind of trust or respect that we need. If they get rid of food stamps, and we have 100 million American people on some form of government aid, if they slash it, and they will, and folk have been nasty and ugly with their jacked-up attitudes towards how they treat other black folks, a whole lot of folk are going to go hungry because nobody's going to want to deal with this self-hatred and this slave behavior that holds us back. And I take it seriously even on a micro level. I can say as a teacher, you come to class prepared, and you notice the white teachers, the students, you know, do that. And a black teacher, you have to fight for respect. Are you crazy? I mean, a white person has a master's, I'm ABD, PhD, MPhil, and I have an MDiv, and a white dude with a bachelor's gets more respect. That doesn't even happen with white folks in relationship to black folks. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing when this young man, his life is taken, and there should be all sorts of support throughout the state of Louisiana. By the way, we need to introduce Brother Smith to Mama D. Y'all know Mama D now down in Louisiana because she knows how to work.
She has a radio show. I think she has a radio show.
You know what? I hope I have Mama D's number because they hacked into my phone today. You know, I lost all of my activist numbers. A lot of these folks who sit down and question Dr. Issa or myself or Roz have no idea that black folks, even on a small level, that stand up for other black people. You know, I tried to dial my mother today, and her number wasn't in my phone. Now, surely I got my mama's number. These
now,
kinds
you know
of
what?
Things are
Dr.
happening
Short.
Because...
Dr. Short.
Because, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. This same person says whites don't be asking for donations every time they come on.
You know what? White folks don't have to... White folks don't have to have donations because they have slaves like the person that made that comment. No, let me finish. I want to answer the question. They have slave-minded black people that give all their money, whether they're buying tobacco or drugs or alcohol or getting subprime loans. White folks don't need donations because they've got black slaves. Just
Randy,
like the one who asked me the question.
Randy, don't even waste your time answering this because it doesn't... We're not here to talk to have an argument with people who don't care about Jason
Smith.
Can
I ask something, please?
And
this is Brian Coleman. I'm our co-host here with Salida. One thing that you will find out, and Salida and I have witnessed, gone through this and seen this, is that you have quite a few people that listen to this show, and be it black or be it white, you have those who pretend that they are and are not. So I want to let you guys know that you have a whole lot of people are going to try to sidetrack us and try to push, whether they're agents
Let's
or whether,
stay on track.
Whether they're enemies.
Let's blow off their questions and continue to let this father... We should ignore them the same way that they can't call in to CBS, ABC, because they don't interrupt white folks on air. And I worked in television. I know they don't. So hosts, don't let them listen to it and argue amongst themselves online.
We're done with that. Let's move on, y'all, because we got 39
I'm more
minutes.
Concerned
so
about Mr. Bruce Smith. I mean... My heart just goes out to this man. He
has been another thing that Mr. Smith
and he needs help.
Happened
this is
to
what he needs.
He was ran out of the parish by the local law enforcement, and they did not put their lights on him. He was at a high rate of speed running for his life. That's why he's in hiding now.
Oh,
so
my
people
God.
Know that he's on to something. He's on to the truth. They don't want him to tell the truth. He had to leave Louisiana because these no good crackers here in this state are out to take us out and to do what they want to do to us, and we have to band together.
See, this is something. This is what we need to be talking about. We have to do something to ensure his safety.
You know how they gave the Million Man March? I want to give a million black people march. That lost, you know, loved ones by the hand of the white man. And
we have to get them all united first. I mean, we have idiots like those that just made those posts that really don't care about what's going on with your child, more so than to try to prove Randy wrong because he spoke about someone who's basically their hero, as they see as a god, Eric Holder.
It's all with white people anyway.
This has nothing to do with Eric Holder. The hell with him. He should be helping. He should be a help to this cause, and he's not.
Most black people in power are scared to be black, and they're trembling at their knees, and they're not dealing with their own.
Whole lot of black celebrities that have money. We have black people out here that own businesses. They have money. These are the people that need to be calling up here saying, what is it that I can do to help? What is wrong with our people? What's wrong
with
us?
Because
this could be my child. This could be your child. This could be anybody's child.
I'm afraid
every day I walk outside. You know the topics that I handle on a weekly basis, the cases that Randy and I promote. I should be afraid to walk out my door, but God does not give me the spirit of fear. I have to keep moving. This man and his family, they need help. They need help. We don't have time for the BS. We really need to get on board if we have to have a Saturday program every week to try to get some money raised for this man so that he can get a lawyer and get some type of help for his safety. This is not right for him to be on a run like this. Thank God he's on this show, because I don't know who's out there listening, but at least somebody is listening to know that if anything happens to that man, we all know that it's foul play. I don't take threats lightly. I was threatened a few weeks ago. Some fool came on my Facebook page and threatened to lynch me because I was promoting the case. What case was that? Eric, help me out, Randy. What is Eric's last name?
The one in
Randy?
Eric Oliver.
Oliver, right.
Yeah.
Eric Oliver. I was promoting the Eric Oliver case, and some idiot came in and threatened to lynch me. So I don't take threats lightly.
Yeah, and that's what black people are supposed to come back and fight back. They got
to
fight back. I mean,
we need to
these white
together
folks think we scared.
And,
they think
and
we scared and they can
some,
do anything to us.
Set up some type of plan. Randy had an excellent idea before we got distracted and off track about writing an open letter and writing a petition. I am definitely on board with that. We need to get you on international television quickly as possible so that you can tell your story and get more people aware of what is going on. Because as long as they keep it isolated, they will continue to try to attack you.
Can we do this for those who are listening in computer land, where the cyberspace? You can go to YouTube to view Mr. Bruce Smith's videos on his son Jason Smith, and I know one of the videos is called KKK Murders Black Teen Jason Smith 2012. And remember, folks, this just happened last year, June of last year. So I want to make sure everybody can go, and it's going to link you to the other videos that he has, but it's under KKK Murders Black Teen Jason Smith 2012 under YouTube.
Yeah, and the other one is KKK. Jason Smith murdered by the KKK.
Yeah.
And we've had him on definitely our daily show that Talita and I do together. We've had him, Talita's had him on this show before. We're trying to see if we can get other avenues to get the word out. We're appealing to any law person or any investigator, anyone that could offer Mr. Smith monetary, also professional help. This is what he's seeking. He's not looking for personal gain. He's wanting satisfaction of getting this taken care of, or this wrong, this evil murder that was done to his son.
See, what people don't realize is a lot of this is not happening to our educated black folks. This is happening to people that they think that we don't have enough intelligence to fight it. You see what I'm saying? So the money is very important so that we can be able to give them the help that they need. We need to get that out the mind that everybody's looking for money. It takes money to get a lawyer. And when you come from a poor family, you don't have those resources, okay? Your circumstance is not set up where you have the resources to get the help you need, you know. And we have to understand that. We always keep saying that black folk always got handouts. They want handouts. No, he just needs somebody to help him get the answers to the murder of his son. That's all
exactly.
He
asked for. Where's the Oprah Winfrey right now?
He ain't asking you to pay his house note. He needs help. He needs a lawyer.
So, Lita, we're talking. I know a lot of people listening. I'm sitting here thinking myself, if I'm listening, I'm listening to a lot of this. Everybody might not be able to stay on the duration. We need Ms. Smith to give a contact number for those people who would like to help. They don't know who to contact or what to do. So, let's give his give his contact number so those who may want to help him can contact him.
Yeah.
You know, because
Ms. Smith, give your contact number where they can call you.
Okay, they can contact me at area code 310-213-1827.
Okay.
That's my
give that one more time.
Phone number.
Give that number one more time.
310-213-1827.
Okay.
Okay.
They can contact me at that number, or they can use the number on the YouTube. That's my mother's phone, you know, because I didn't want her in danger. That's why I move around, too, you know, and she'll deliver messages to me, and then I get back with the caller like that, you know, because I am moving from one place to another. I don't stay in one place, you know what.
Now, Mr. Smith. Tell them that you have other kids. Tell them that you have other kids that are in danger just as much as you are.
Oh, yes, and, you know, that's why I don't mention their names and things like that. But, yes, I got quite a few kids, and I love them just like I love Jason, and I don't want them in danger. Like that, I mean, you know, therefore it's in the school board and all that. They got their names down there and everything like that. But I made sure that, you know, where they're going to be safe in black neighborhoods, to where I know the Klan ain't going to come into no all-black neighborhood and call themselves trying to do nothing. That's what make them cowards to me.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Because, like, you know, we was behind enemy lines, basically, and I didn't even know it. With, you know, therefore, in our community with the drugs and the gangs and guns and innocent babies getting killed by gunfire and things like that, I didn't want that to happen to my kids. I didn't want them to fall back, you know, because they pushed me through school. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't want them to be pushed through. I wanted them to have an education to where they could do anything they wanted to do in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got that right to be a doctor, lawyer, join the army, whatever, electrician, whatever they want to do, they got that right. So I wanted to make sure their pants wasn't hanging off their butt and hat tilted to the side, talking about Crip this or blood that, and the white man grabbing them anyway, killing them anyway, and things like that. I didn't want that for my kids. I wanted a different life. And that's what I gave them. And
now,
these people grabbed my baby, and they disrespected him in every kind of way.
Explain to
right
them,
along with me.
Explain to them, Ms. Smith, about your son, that one of the, you think one of the, I think you said the problem was, is that one thing was he didn't have a fear because he didn't know what racism was.
No, he didn't. He knew the dangers of the South, therefore, and snakes and things like that, but he didn't know the dangers of the white man because I didn't raise him, you know, to be racist, you know, like that, because, like, you know, I thought that was all over with. You know, with the Confederate flag and stuff, that's something you see on a movie. You know.
Not really.
that's what I want to get out. That's the misconception that a lot of people have, is that they thought it was over with, and they think telling their children about it being racist, when it's not being racist, is informing your children, giving them a gun, so to speak, meaning protection, a shield, to protect them against these evil is out to kill us.
Yeah. And that's why now I tell everybody, you know, keep your kids away from white people. You know, I mean, they two-faced it. They'll come and smile in your face and murder you in your sleep. And I just want people to be aware of that. I mean, there's not to be trusted, period. You know, that's the way that I look at it, you know. It's a shame I lost my son. I hurt every night. Sometimes I can't eat, you know. And I just want all my people to just watch out and hold on to their kids and make sure they're aware of what's going on in this country, because America do not care. They don't.
Wow.
If it happened to a white kid, that's when they care.
Randy, are you still here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, when it happened to a white kid, that's when they care. But when it happened to a black kid, they don't care. That's why I'm trying to get my people to stand up for themselves and, you know, seek the justice that they deserve, not just for Jason, but for themselves too, because they lost loved ones. And they never got justice. Now it's time for everybody to band together and demand this justice that America say that we supposed to have, equal for all, you know. And that's basically the way I'm feeling, you know. I was angry, still angry, but I was so angry to where I wanted to pick up a gun. And I wanted to go shoot somebody, but God told me, no, do it this way.
Now
I'm doing it this way.
Mr. Smith, someone has given me an attorney's name. Give me 1 second, okay? Keep on talking, but I'm just letting you know, somebody's trying to give me a name.
I think, Mr.
God
Smith,
bless
one thing
that
we want
thank
to
you.
Definitely
thank you, thank you.
Bring out while Salita's getting that name, is that, folks, this man is real serious about trying to get justice for his son. I talked him out of it, but when I first talked to him about coming on our live radio show that's doing today in Alexandria, he was getting ready to catch the bus from California at the time to Alexandria just to bring his just make sure we knew he was legit, want to catch the bus and then catch a bus out of Alexandria that day just to be on our show, which we would have probably had to go longer than what we normally do because it came so far. But he's really been desperate. And like any parent would, I would, anybody else would, be desperate in seeking some help from some of our people in square here in these United States that will help him in his plight to seek out justice. I mean, a grave injustice was done.
Yeah.
What we see based on skin color. The young man was 14 years old, a baby.
A baby.
His father, a single parent, trying to do right for him, taking him out of the elements which he thought was bad, and when he found out he was safer in California around the gangs than he was around the Klan.
Uh-huh.
Sure was.
So,
sure
I mean, you can't see this. And then, like Mrs. Smith said, had, you know, he been thrown in there alive, the big gator would have grabbed him. So we know he was murdered. You don't get bruised up by falling in the water. You don't face
yeah.
something bad. And also, tell them about the taser marks, Mr. Smith.
He got taser marks on the side of his face where, the corner man holding his head with the gloves, you can see the two red marks on his face where his eye is crushed and the marks in his face. And then, like, the day of the funeral, you can see where his face was beat with a stick or a billy club or something. I don't know.
I saw that. It didn't look like a drown. It looked like he was beaten.
He was beaten and then thrown in the water and left there to make it look like a drowning.
Exactly. That's what I think, too.
I think we're missing.
Was his eye still? You said all of his organs were missing.
Hello?
Was his eye still there?
Yes. Go ahead.
Every bit of his organs was missing.
A very key point in this. And this is not to at all downplay what happened to Jason Smith. But we got to remember that lynchings is more than just hanging somebody on a tree. It's social control.
Uh-huh.
It's social control. One, this is an epidemic that's going on all over the country. And I'm seeing now that the federal government knows about this. But the question is, why are they allowing this to happen? The Southern Poverty Center tracks these type of things. If you go on their website, they'll tell you where all the KKK...
Sir, we've already contacted...
I'm sorry?
That's
not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is... I'm saying this is about social control. When somebody is lynched, it's not solely about the individual, but putting a community of people in check.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And I think that we have to emphasize that. Yes,
I think
we know that Jason Smith was lynched. But
basically, what you're saying is that the same thing happened when all of the slaves, fear needed to be put into them, when they used to take our pregnant women, put them up on a pedestal, cut the stomach, let the baby drop out, smash the baby into the ground while the woman lay there and bleed to death, and say, niggas, if you all try to run, this is going to happen to you. It's the same kind of thing that's going on, and they do it here and there to put fear and to keep us in check.
Amen.
And they couldn't put no fear in me.
We have to look at, as far as where Jason Smith was murdered, you know, generally when they do these things, there's a political and economic reasoning in doing this. It's all a part of the social control. And so they knew that no black leadership in that area would stand up. They knew it.
Because
Dr. Sharp said, this happened right here in Delaware. I'm a university professor. And I saw the flyers. They put out flyers saying, we're going to lynch one nigga at a time.
Oh.
And the black man, the black kids, I was alarmed.
Wow. What
right?
state do you live in?
And I went and contacted every black leader in the state. I'm a PhD professor, a graduate from Howard University PhD program in history, an expert on these type of lynchings. on these type of murders. So what I'm saying is, this is what I'm trying to say in a nutshell. I'm not saying not to personalize it, because I'm not taking away from what happened to Mr. Smith and his family. This is horrible. But I think we need to relate this on a larger context.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Control, one, it is an epidemic. It's going on all over the country. Just yesterday, they shot a black man in Delaware in the back of the head. The police did. And you can't tell me that they shot him in the back of the head. Well, I saw they did this again in Arkansas. So this means that the state is doing this with the authority.
They did it in San Francisco just a few days before that. There have been.
So the federal government is allowing this type of social control to go on. Why? Why is the that's the question. Why is the federal government allowing this type of barbaric, unhumane social control to go on? You want to know why? And nobody's really understanding this. They're doing this because of to make sure that white mainstream America has a grip to say that you let us steal all the money from you, we're going to let you have your whiteness back. This is what.
Well, I'm like Michael Jackson. I'm going to make a change because I ain't scared of the white man and nothing else. I'm heading, I'm going against the Ku Klux Klan head on.
Well, you can't do it by yourself, one thing. You can't do it by yourself. And it's
no,
like
it's going to take a multitude.
You can't do it by yourself, and in reality, the social control of the state is less powerful than the control that black people who are traitors within our community exert. None of this works without not just black preachers, ordinary black folks, people who basically do not believe in their human worth, or they believe in theirs but not in anyone else's.
Right.
Okay, and so the same way that we could not have this commerce in Africans being brought here without some African complicity. We can't have guns and drugs, and we can't have sagging, and we can't have folks spreading AIDS to everyone without someone deciding that I am not going to respect other people who happen to be like me. Mm. And until we make a decision as a community, going after the racism of other people is actually ahead of it's further down the road. We need to figure out right now who's really with you. In fact, I would be very happy if 85% of the folks that were black that were faking were to wear a little badge, like the Jews had to wear a little Star of David. They could all wear a Ku Klux Klan, have a little armband with the Klan hood on it, so I could know that they hated being black and I wouldn't have to interact with them.
Right.
I wish we would, everyone, and if there were only 15% of us with some dignity left, I would then know who to speak to and who not to. You know what would happen? The 15% of us that were serious, we would get our acts together. And you know what? If it took 85% of us perishing for us to survive, we've almost got to get to a point where the herd is being culled. Not that I want anyone to pass, but I can just give an example, and I know Dr. Issa would know. You start off a class with 40 students. You're not out to fail anyone, but you discover soon into it some folks let you know there's nothing that they're going to do to pass or succeed in the class. And as a people, we try too hard to rescue and save and be for everybody. No community works like that. Every community works with rules and obligations. And as a people, we have no laws. We have no rules by which we stake our lives. And by virtue of that, we have chaos. And this is why we call the white police officer and sometimes a coon police officer to come to bring order in, because if I borrow $20 or $1,000 from you, and then when you come to get it, you say, F you, man, there's no one in the community that's going to say, well, look, you got to pay him. If you notice how we deal with each other, we need a new binding morality with rewards and punishment. And if you get somebody pregnant, you better pay that child support or we're going to come get you.
That's why I take care of my kids.
If you know you have AIDS and you are out there banging, you know what? They used to have a place down in Galveston, Texas called the Lion's Den. It was black folk. When they had certain black folk that would not do what they were supposed to do and they couldn't go to the white man's court, they would feed the derelict, no-good black folk to lions. And I'm not talking about hurting nobody or death penalty, but you know what? When you used to see the old black communities and things worked, folks don't talk about it. Black folk put some punishment on the out-of-control Negroes in our element. We have too many. That's why when if I get a stupid question from someone, I just break them down. I mean, because we need to start saying to people that there's a way to live. And I'm not talking about forcing anybody in the church or masjid, but in terms of respecting each other, we need to enforce that. If we had just a little bit more dignity enforced, and I'm not talking about pleading with someone, please pay your child support, that we need to get out of this whole moral suasion thing with other black folks. It's really going to come down to which side are you on? Are you on the side of justice for Mr. Smith and all the other victims, or are you on the other side, or are you willing to get paid any way you get it? And people need to shun and stay away from lackluster, worthless black folks. People need to think about who they sleep with. They need to think about where they go to church, where you spend your money, whose TV show you watch, which sports star poster you want on your wall. We need to start discriminating against the crap in our community. If we got ourselves, there's a parable in the Bible. Jesus said, if you clean the inside of the cup, you'll clean the outside too. Have you ever seen people who don't know how to wash dishes? They tend to get the outside clean, then there'll be a dead roach or something in the bottom of the cup. Have you ever been to someone's house and they had stuff inside? If we focused on getting ourselves together, even as individuals, and then seek out other people, which is just the opposite. You know, nowadays, if you're a good black woman, dudes won't talk to you because you won't have sex with 5 minutes of talking to them. If you're a smart black man that's serious, the sisters won't talk to you. We've got to have a moral revolution in our community so we're able to stand up, because when we push back, if we don't have our act together, if I can compare it to anything, was the march, the last march Martin Luther King was in, where you had all the gangbangers and the group called the Invaders that got drugs and money from the FBI to make Martin Luther King and the other people fail. We can't go anywhere. In fact, we haven't moved anywhere since that last march of Martin Luther King, because there were corrupt Negroes who were willing to sell out other people for $5 or $6 or less. We have no potential to change things until we change ourselves.
Well, I believe in my people, and I know that we can change things.
We can change, but it will not come. It will not come without some pressure. It's the same way whatever happened to your son, somebody black knows about it. The same way there were black folks who watched Emmett Till's body, the blood washed off. There were black folks that were there when Emmett Till was being beaten to death. They never talk about it. We are people that are very comfortable with putting all of the moral culpability of what's wrong on white folks when there's always been some black traitors who've helped white folks. And until we've got to be real about that.
Andy, because Jason, also what happened with his son, the police came to Bruce's house and questioned his son about, tell us what happened with that before your son was killed. This happened, I think, a year or two beforehand. And tell us what happened with that, Bruce.
Yes, they was on the bus, and Ronald King Jr., took a 6-year-old black girl,
Ron King Jr. is a white boy, right?
Yeah. He stuck his fingers into this 6-year-old baby until she bled. Detectives come to my house. I tell my son to tell the truth. He tell the truth of what happened on that bus. They did not arrest that boy. They just kicked him off the bus. And I never heard from that black family again.
That sounds like that might be the reason why your son became a target.
And was
that
this white boy involved?
But let's speak.
I'm thinking.
But
don't
gloss it up. Where did he put the fingers, sir?
Up in her vagina. That's where they bleed at,
okay.
Don't it?
Well,
now what happened
to be said? So
was
he sodomized this girl.
That had something to do with his death?
What I mean?
Was this the same white boy that had something to do with your son's death?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now also, what happened to your son's tennis shoes? Who was wearing his tennis shoes after he died?
Ronald King Jr.
And who was his daddy?
Johnny King.
Senior.
That's on the report. Yeah.
The FBI agent come in. Was one of his sons involved in this?
Yes, yeah, Stacy Roper.
And his son was involved in this and was also involved in. But did they get a report of him or anything?
They read him as Miranda rights and pulled his statement.
Oh my God!
You they have a copy.
Why would you have to read the Miranda rights if he wasn't under arrest? You don't read them only when you're under arrest, right? Am I right?
You're right.
You know, they like, you know, well, on the paperwork, you know, they tell them you got the right to remain silent and all this, anything you can't say, held and the attorney stuff and all that. And when they got, well, I guess when he got the writing what he wrote and everything like that, they put the statement. Now, I got everybody else's statement besides him, and then they didn't mention Michael Poole at all.
And Michael Poole was who again?
Michael Poole was the dude that told me detail for detail what happened to my son and told me that Ronald King Jr. was wearing my son's shoes and I did not get his clothes, backpack, nothing.
You never got
they
that back?
Never got nothing.
Now, what did who was the boy who said he tried to help your son and what did they tell him?
That was Clayton Sutton, and they told Clayton if he tried to help my son, they're going to do the same thing to him what they did to my son.
And you got this in writing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you guys, see, he knows these people's name by heart. He has some of this stuff in writing. He just needs some help. He has so much compelling evidence, it makes your head spin.
And I don't understand why the media is not attacking this story.
Well, I've got an idea.
Actually, these boys
I've got an idea.
Randy.
After this happened to my son, Ronald King went and changed clothes, sat down and watched TV, knowing that my son was back there. Clayton Sutton, he went home, changed clothes. His mother took him to a birthday party, and the other two boys went on about their business, and the father was back there acting like he was looking for my son when the boat way over here and my son's body way over there, which I am going to send that paperwork as soon as I get some stamps because I ain't got no money, but I got everything addressed and put in a big envelope
okay.
And everything like that. So I just got to just, you know, give me some stamps and stuff and send it to you.
Okay, and then he's referring to him.
When you look at that?
He has, too, so I'll have copies of that.
Randy,
yeah,
what were you getting ready
to
say?
When you look at that,
well,
you're going
to
know.
When you get the opportunity, we need to make certain that we stay in touch for the simple fact that as I talked to, there's a sister I know at CNN. I'm going to send her this story while I'm thinking about it because this needs you never know who might do it. Now, you know, a lot of, we got plenty of black folks in the media, but, you know, a lot of them are afraid that they may lose
their job or whatever. Yeah.
If they bring up a story. I've worked in media, and I can tell you it's a pretty racist place. You can halfway say something and get into so much, you know. So it's a very interesting time that we're in because a large number of people find it almost impossible. They don't want to risk anything to help anyone else. It reminds me of where Jews and Tutsis and other people have been, where a certain group of people said it's okay for me if I'm just going to be quiet because it's going to get better. You know, I'm working to try to register people from Latin America that live in the D.C. area to vote, and a large number of them just don't want to get involved. They don't want to. They just don't want to take any chance. They think that they can not do anything and it will just get better. Anybody knows anything about a disease like syphilis or cancer, if you leave it alone, it only spreads.
Mm-hmm. Well, me?
Syphilis goes, becomes, it's incurable after it gets to the second stage, or third stage, I'm sorry. But our people have been taught, especially the ones who make it, if I could just be a bigger sellout, everybody will like me. Everybody, you know, think about Tiger Woods. Everybody loved him until his white woman took the golf club to him. He hasn't recovered from the fact that white folk don't worship him anymore. Once they found out he wasn't the perfect, you know, such and such and such. Don't be surprised if you see Tiger Woods sagging, hanging in the neighborhood, trying to be hip, probably trying to bust the rap to Roz. Say, I like Wesley. A large number of people are trapped to think that there's a way that you cannot take a stand. I mean, if you ever try to take a doo-doo sitting down, this going to smear all over you. You got to stand up to do most things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope a lot of people be inspired by me and take a stand.
Well,
I'm not scared.
As a matter of fact, I'm so with you. After this show is over, we're going to have a conference call with Randy.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're going to discuss come up with some type of strategy to get more attention on this. I won't leave you. I promise you that. I don't have
Thank
that much money
it.
In my life, but all I have is my word, and my word has always been as good as gold. If I say I'm with you, I am with you. And
you see, that's what I tell everybody. It's not about money. It's about the justice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about putting these peoples away.
Yep, and what they've done.
And
you
it is too about spreading. We need to spread this story for others to be aware because, like I said at the beginning of the show, this story is huge. There are so many other Jason Smiths that's been victimized that we don't even know.
I bet
and
you if they drained that pond.
It will continue as long as we stay ignorant and a fact of not wanting to open up our eyes and see what's going on out here. We have to let others know what's going on.
If they drain that pond, they'll find a lot of missing black kids
mm-hmm.
in that water.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean,
I know
it's the first time
I work in the
off.
Medical field, and I've seen so many things that I can't talk about because I would be fired from my job.
Yeah.
But believe me when I tell you that this is bigger than you could possibly imagine.
Yes, ma'am.
And it has not, and most of it really doesn't even have to do with missing children. This happens to adults. This, when you go to the hospital, only thing I have to tell you, I will say this much. If you have a loved one that's in the hospital, that has had surgery, that requires an autopsy, always question to see the body. Always. Don't take those stitches for granted and just assume that that was part of the autopsy. Ask to
exactly.
see the organs. I want to strongly get that point across to all your listeners.
Hey, you guys, listen, we're going to have to, I'm down to 1 minute. I already gave you a 90-second warning. So,
can Jason go ahead and get that number? I'm sorry. Can Bruce go ahead and get that number one more time, please? Get real quick, Bruce.
Yes. Area code 310. Phone number 213 1828.
Got it.
Okay.
I'm
all
calling
right,
you right after this broadcast.
I want to
yes,
thank
ma'am.
Everybody for your time and your information. Mr. Smith, we're here for you. You know that already. We're working on your case as much as we can. I want to thank you so much. I want to thank Dr. Short. I want to thank Ms. Roslyn. I want to thank my co-host and the other doctor. I couldn't remember his name, but I want to thank you for calling in, you guys. Thank you for everything. We're going to do this again because we've got to continue the fight no matter what. We've got to continue
yes,
the
ma'am.
Fight.
Yes.
So I want to say good night to everyone and thank you again.
Good night,
okay,
Loretta. Good
God
night, Brian.
You.
Good night. Thank you all.
Okay.
All right.
No okay, better. I'm going to call you right. I'm going to call you in 2 seconds. Let me call Randy first, and then we'll call you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.